Today's gospel is from the 14th chapter of John, beginning with verse 23. Jesus answered them, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, 'I'm going away, and I will come to you.' If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." The Gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was 7 a.m. on Tuesday, and we are trying to get past hola and buenos dias with our Nicaraguan guests. You see, Chris and I were hosting them in Minnesota for 2 months to bring the Nicaraguan pastor and his wife around different churches to let them be introduced and to share their ministry, and because they're lovers of Christ and their ministry is so Christ-centered and wonderful, we wanted to give them the opportunity for more churches to support them. Well, we thought it'd be fun to find out a little bit more about what they did in Nicaragua. But the translator, who is their nephew, hadn't gotten out of bed yet. So we tried our best using the wonderful technology that exists called Google Translate. And if you know about it, you can actually speak into your phone, and then your phone will speak the words in a language to that person. So we thought, this will be fun. Let's try Google Translate. And so we said something, and then we played in Spanish what it said, and they went, and then they spoke to us something in Spanish, and then we played in English, and we went, huh? It just did not work at all. In fact, it was actually quite hilarious, because nothing that we wanted to say was actually being translated correctly. And that was unusual, because actually I'd used Google Translate in the written form, and it had enabled me to do very well in communicating back and forth with them in Nicaragua. But in person, it was a little more difficult. It was quite frustrating, but you know what saved us is love. We knew it wasn't just what we were saying, it's how we said it, it's our body language, it's our smiles, it's our eyes. And they knew, even though our words were coming out in a jumble, that we loved them. And we knew, because even though they didn't know exactly how to say it, or we couldn't understand it, we knew that they loved us. Ephesians 5 says this, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave us up as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." Although Google Translate is useful, Jesus Translate is best. We live in a world with 7,099 languages spoken in the world. At least that's according to worldatlas.com. And although we can communicate a great deal without speaking, without language, you know, a hug, a smile, a wink, a tear, humans communicate primarily through words. Words matter. But love is greater, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." Today, it's not Google Translate, but Jesus translates. Jesus' translate is his words of love penetrating our very soul. What does, and that is what the Holy Spirit does. He penetrates our very soul. The scripture chosen for Pentecost Sunday tells an amazing story when you put it all together. In Genesis, we heard about the Tower of Babel. The people had a common language, it says, and they used that commonality to build this wonderful tower, they thought. And it says in the scripture that they did it to make a name for themselves. Basically, they were saying, we don't need God. We are pretty powerful on ourselves, by ourselves. And so they started to build this tower. And God came down, it says, and he saw what they were doing and said, if they'll do this with a common language, what else will they come up with? And God confused their language. So the punishment for their sin was languages, where they couldn't understand one another or speak to one another. And then it comes to Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes, and what do the people there experience? They're from all these different countries. They're God-fearing Jews from other countries, from other places. And they're there for the festival of Pentecost, and they hear in their own native tongue, it says, the glories of God. The glories of God. It says they are bewildered and amazed when they hear these words, and they go, what is happening? What's going on? The Holy Spirit translated the love of Christ into the language of all the people there. The Holy Spirit was released and the church was born. Pentecost is the birthday of the church. Now, I speak German. I'm proficient, pretty proficient. I can do that, but it's not my native language. When I was coming home from Germany the first time I lived there for an entire year, I started to dream in German. Now, people would say that is a sign that you're starting to absorb a language and think of it. But I've also spoken with people who are English as their second language, and as they're going through a difficult time or going through, you know, what they need to hear from God, I encourage them to get a Bible in their native tongue because it speaks to you more clearly to have God speak to you in your mother tongue than it would be in another foreign language. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He penetrates our lives with Christ's love to our very souls. That's Jesus' translate. I referred to a few weeks ago, John 14 and 16, as some of the most vivid descriptions of the Holy Spirit, at least according to Jesus, that we have in the Bible. This is who he is, Jesus says, and this is what he will do. And today we hear in the passage that was read, the Holy Spirit, the helper, the counselor, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Do you ever need a reminder? Someone to whisper in your ear to remind you of doing something or saying something? That's Jesus' translate. His words of love penetrating our very soul. Jesus says in these words, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The Holy Spirit is given to you to give you an inside makeover. The result of that makeover, he says, is peace. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. So don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So the gift of the Holy Spirit is a brand new inner life, a refreshed new life in Christ. A couple weeks ago, we had a fantastic thing happen here at our church campus. We had a crew come that in 1 week literally painted the entire buildings, the crosses, the railings. They did it all, and they did a fantastic job. It was like a fresh coat of paint to cover up some of the things that were, you know, decrepit, some cracks, some staining, things that needed to be done to protect our building from the sun and the weather. it's important to put a good coat of paint on your building, protect your investment. So the church got a new outside, and that's great. And we're thankful for the team that made that happen. Thankful for all of you who gave money so that we could do it. Pentecost is the gift of a brand new inside. It's in our hearts. It's in our church. It's the Holy Spirit. That God would make his home in us. You know, you can have a beautiful home on the outside. And my wife, Chris, is a counselor, counsels many people who have said they've grown up in a nice home. One man, he had two doctors as his parents. And he said, everything on the outside of our house was perfect. It was beautiful. It was a $1 million house. But it wasn't a home. It didn't feel safe. It didn't feel whole. It felt judged. I felt judged. I felt not accepted. It wasn't warm. I didn't feel like they cared for me or I cared for them, he says. When God makes his home in us, it's different because in that home we reflect Jesus. We reflect his life in all we say and do. If you were to condense the message of Jesus down to one word, what would it be? Maybe forgiveness? Maybe hope? That's a good word. How about love? That's a good word. On Friday, my 15-month-old grandson decided to take one of his shoes off and walk with only one shoe on. So he had his right shoe on, he had his left shoe on and his right shoe off. And as he started to walk in his fast 15-month-old version, he always veered left because that, it was just like he couldn't help himself because that shoe just drew him over to that direction. And watching him reminded me of a really great illustration about what is this Christian life about? What does it mean to be a Christian? And what is it? Jesus says, if you'll keep my word, you will love me. He said a lot of words. How do we boil down what Jesus said in a way that we can understand it to keep his word? Well, I want to share, it's kind of like this. Jesus shared in the Gospels the greatest commandment. You all know it. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And I asked Lloyd to find a video now. We have a video of birds flying, if we can. And when a bird flies, it takes two wings. And there are two wings by which we fly as Christians. It's a summation of Jesus' teaching. Love God is one wing, and love for others is another. Let me unpack that for you. And we're just going to let this video play as you watch these wonderful birds, if we can get it to play. Does it work? Okay, we're going to find the play button. There we go. It's almost there. A little bit lower. There you go. All right. Thank you. Birds in flight. It takes two wings to fly. So let's unpack what that. So love for God is one wing. And that's our speaking and listen to God. I guess you could define it as our devotion to God. It's our prayer life. It's seeking to be with him. That he is a friend. I mean, he's not like your buddy, but he's near to you. We call him Abba. We're told we can call God Daddy. That's our love for God. When you seek him with all your heart, in worship, in prayer, meditating on his word, giving us a new heart attitude. You can turn the audio off, please. Thank you. And so that's one wing by which we fly. But a bird can't fly with just one wing, as you see here. It takes two, and it takes a lot of effort for a bird to fly. The other wing is love for other people. This is hard because what is love? It's a very confusing thing when we try to think about what is love, because love is loving, it's warm, but love also sometimes needs to be tough, right? Is it loving to give unconditional acceptance? Yes, but love also needs a backbone. Is it loving to the point of not saying anything to a person who is caught up in harmful activities and just letting them go on? Is that love? I'd say no. Is it loving to keep giving an addict money or whatever they need without limits? Paul says we are to speak the truth in love. Paul says love is forgiving. That's love, isn't it? But is it also forgetting? Or can we forgive and remember? Dr. David Stoop tells the story of a woman who came to him for counseling. Remember David Stoop? He was here a couple years ago for our Abundant Life weekend. And she was distraught because she discovered that her father abused her daughter sexually. But the truth came out that he had also abused her sexually when she was a little girl. And she told Dr. Stoop these words, "I worked really hard to forgive him and forget what he did to me. And now he did the same thing to my daughter. How could he?" He asked her, "So you forgave him, but he was never called to account to what he did to you? So he was never called to change or repent for the wrong he did?" "When someone's wronged you so severely," he says, "forgiveness is the right thing to do, but you also need to remember what was done so it can't be done to you again, or in this case, to your daughter, and that your daughter would not be harmed by this man. Forgiving and remembering would be the loving thing to do." Love is serving others, isn't it? Ministering to the poor. But can you also hurt the poor by serving them? The adage is, give a man to fish and he will eat for a day. Teach him to fish and he will eat for a lifetime. It's an excellent book that I've used in overseas missions called Helping Without Hurting. It's a wonderful resource to think about how we do ministry to people who are less financially or have less money than we do. In Nicaragua, there was a woman who contributed to their mission on her terms. She didn't ask them what they needed. She showed up with her ideas. She wanted them to run a VBS so she could take pictures of all the children and bring them back home to her with Texas and show the people what she was doing there with these poor kids in Nicaragua. Loving others is tricky. It's easy to take on loving, serving, giving as our project. And if our focus is only on the wing of love for others, if that's the only wing by which we fly, without the love of God, it's all up to us. And sooner or later, those who give and give and give probably will end up bitter or resentful that others aren't pulling their weight. And they take the mantle of responsibility on their shoulders as if they were the maker of the universe. But as I said, there are two wings by which we fly, these birds illustrate. If we only do devotion to God, we get into a holy huddle. And if you're only serving others without the strength of God, you get tired and weary, burn out, because you're doing it all on your own strength. Why is it difficult to strike the balance? And what is the balance? How do we keep Christ's words to love others and love God? In Matthew's gospel, Jesus gave this amazing sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. In the midst of that are these teachings about worry. Jesus says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day is enough trouble of its own. Would that be another word to describe Jesus? We talked about love, but if you can condense his ministry to one word, could it be don't worry or relaxed? Relax. It's not all up to you. I love how Eugene Peterson translates this in The Message. That same passage, he says, if God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up over the way he may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Today is God's invitation to you to have a new inner life, a life steeped in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. I love how Jesus offers time and time again this invitation to a new inner life. And that happens when the words of Christ penetrate your soul. It allows us to relax. In Luke 11, Jesus compares the gift of the Holy Spirit with gifts that earthly parents give. He says, if a son asks you for a fish, would you give him a snake? And if he asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? Of course not. And you who are evil, even you fathers, earthly fathers, who are not holy, would do the right thing. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him, is what Jesus says. How much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask him? Friends, our church, our hearts need an eternal internal makeover. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given to fill the believers and gave them a new inner life. And that same offer is given to you and to me. Have you ever asked for the Holy Spirit? Have you been going to church for quite a while and you just don't know that his love has really penetrated your heart, your soul? Jesus translate is his words of love penetrating your very soul. If your doctor said to you, you have a hard heart, he means you have hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. That's how it is. Cardiomyopathy. I looked that up. And that means your muscle in your heart is getting hard, thickening, and doesn't allow your blood to pump as necessary. But hard-heartedness is also a spiritual condition. Jesus speaks about it. He speaks about hard hearts and he speaks about stiff necks. He describes a person that rejects the ways of God as that, hard-hearted. And as I said, there are two wings by which we fly, love for God and love for others. You see, in that rhythm, that keeps our hearts soft. As we watch the birds fly, I guess they're not there anymore. As you saw those birds fly, it seemed so natural, didn't it? So easy, although as effort, to have those two wings fly in unison. The Holy Spirit penetrating our lives allows us to live relaxed, natural, joyful. To steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. You don't have to be right. You don't have to fix everything in the world, because this is my Father's world, as the hymn says. So Jesus' translate is his words of love penetrating your very soul. Would you join me in a time of prayer now? And I'd invite you, since the birds aren't up here anymore, I want you to just gently close your eyes and picture one of those birds in flight. To slow your breath, to relinquish your worries, even open your hands and pray. So just picture that bird flying, the two wings by which we fly, love for God, love for others. And we invite the Holy Spirit to come. I'll say a sentence and then say this to yourself. Come, Holy Spirit, to my mind. I receive your comfort. Come, Holy Spirit, to my heart. I receive your peace. Come, Holy Spirit, to my soul. I receive the Father's love for me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your love. Give us this internal makeover that you long to give us, so that we're changed, we're renewed, refreshed, that we are a new creation. And Lord, do that here in our midst through the people of Shepherd of the Hills, so that our church would be a place that lives and breathes, is filled with people who listen to your words, love as you love, and give as you give. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.